Welcome to another round of Drawing Board or Miro Board. Today we discuss technical diagramming with systems architect Maya. Let's go. First question. You've spent 10 hours slogging over a sequence diagram that should have taken 5. Drawing Board or Miro Board?
Drawing Board. And if I'm being honest, Miro would probably cut that time down by half. You know, with its AI tools and ready-to-go templates.
Next, your diagrams become so bulky, it's more complex than the solar system. But all it takes is a few clicks and...
It's Miro. I've used those technical shape packs way too many times, and stuff is just digestible on its infinite online canvas.
Now, the final question. Everyone's brought in, but you have to make all these tasks all the way over in Jira. But wait, it's done. Is it...
Miro, easy with its two-way Jira sync. Easy to plot dependencies. Everyone always knows what's up.
And she's done it.
Join over 60 million people creating technical diagrams without workflow glitches. Get your first 3 boards for free at Miro.com. That's Miro.com.
Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
I am super excited to be joined by Brewers prospect Aiden Maldonado. Aiden, how's it going, man?
It's going good. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, I'm excited. I mean, Parker reached out to me, said he trained with you, as well as a guest I had on not too long ago in Nate Peterson. Did you train with Nate?
Yeah, I trained with Nate a little bit in the off season. So I know Parker from Starters Sports Training. It's just a facility in Burnsville, Minnesota that I train in the off season. And Nate came by a couple times, and actually he's my roommate right now.
So, oh, okay.
It's sort of a coincidence that we're running this. So.
Yeah, so let's talk about Nate a little bit then, since, you know, he's your roommate and all that. Do you have any funny Nate stories that I can talk to him about later? How is he as a roommate?
Stories.
Is he clean? Is he messy? Like give me some dirt.
I don't know if I can share any dirt, but I would say Nate lets me do what I want.
Okay, that's good.
Just from going to sleep kind of thing, and I'm pretty uptight with my routine, so just having someone that allows me just to go about my business, sort of essential for me, and Nate allows me to do all that on top of being a good friend. So.
Yeah. Okay. And did you know him from like rookie ball last year and stuff?
Yeah. So I actually knew Nate going back to probably when I was 15 years old.
Oh, okay.
Maybe 16. I sort of just knew the name in high school. Mm-hmm. He played for a rival high school team. I went to Rosemont. He went to Lakeville North. And coincidentally enough, we both get drafted by the same team in 2022. Yeah. So,
and so who had the better high school team? Was it you or him?
Overall team, definitely him. Lakeville North was always stacked with very good Division I talent when I was in high school. I think we ended up losing that year, but we talk about it sometimes, but.
That's so cool. And so how has camp been for you? Obviously, this is your first spring training. Like, how has that whole experience been for you?
Yeah, the experience has been awesome. There's a lot of things that I could go through. I think one of the most eye-opening things for me was right when I got to camp, first day of practice, I'm doing my stretching routine, doing my bands, doing my plyos, and there's people literally videoing me because they're allowed to walk throughout the complex. And I think on that given day, there was the Major League spring training game. So everyone came a couple hours early and they just walk around our complex and watch us practice. So I thought that was pretty cool. Other than that, camp's been great. I really love professional baseball and I feel like it promotes an environment where, I'm able to thrive in. And so just coming from Minnesota to Arizona,
huge difference,
not only weather wise, but just mentally for me, allows me to lock in and, just focus on what I'm trying to do this year. So,
and fans are crazy. Like, I was just in Florida for spring training for a couple of days. Checked out a couple of buddies who are with the Rays and the Marlins. So I'm at Rays minor league camp and stuff. They're practicing, and all the autograph guys are there with just books and like books of like everyone's autograph, like multiple. And I'm like, oh my goodness! Like they were there all day. I'm like, y'all are crazy for just staying out here, just waiting for hope someone to autograph you guys.
Yeah, absolutely. And seeing all the people walking around asking for autographs and stuff, like I would have loved to be a first rounder, but you could not walk out of the complex without being asked by multiple people to sign something or talk to them. So, I like keeping a low profile. Lets me get my business done and get out of there. So.
Yeah. And it's did anybody ask you like, hey, what's your name or who are you? Because like these people behind me and they're talking. It's the first time I've ever experienced this. And they're like, all right, you haven't tried hard unless you got in a I'm not that person response from a player, which I'm like, why are you guys asking these people? You don't even know who they are, but it's wild.
Yeah, going off that, like, I think the first day I was there, I had a couple little kids come up to me and ask me to sign a baseball. And, of course, because I'm a smart ass, I was just like, if you can tell me my name, I'll sign it. And I just stood there for a good, like, 5 seconds. Yeah. And I was like, I'm kidding. And I signed the ball. But, yeah, no, not really. I mean, people are super friendly out here. I haven't had a bad experience like that. But, yeah, there's definitely a lot of eager baseball fans to meet young prospects. So I threw in a live scrimmage game on Saturday and there was a big league game, but our scrimmage was an hour, 2 hours before it. And I think there was over 100 people behind the backstop when I was throwing. So it's just, it promotes a pretty cool environment, especially this early in the season. I mean, there was games at Minnesota last year where I didn't even have that many people there. So it's sort of cool.
I was going to say, because even in like rookie ball, you probably didn't get that many people coming to watch you guys pitch or even in Minnesota. So how is that just going from that environment to now like there's just people who want your autograph, they want to take pictures and you don't even know, they don't know who you are, you don't know who they are, but they just know you're a pro player and they want to just, you know, get your information and autograph and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, it definitely brings a lot of enjoyment to the game, I think. It sounds weird for me to say it, but I don't watch a lot of baseball.
Okay.
And just to see so many people walking around that are super passionate about the sport and invest a lot of time and money into it definitely makes me appreciate the game I play a lot more than I would say, let's say, a year ago.
Yeah.
So it just makes me take a step back and just realize, like, I'm doing this for a job and there's a lot of people that look up to you. And I represent the Brewers organization, so that means a lot.
Why don't you watch baseball?
I just feel like I'm very consumed from, like, I'm a little psychotic and I think it makes me good at what I do. But like from the moment I wake up to the moment I go to bed, I'm thinking about how am I going to go about today to either get better or prepare my body for my next outing or my bullpen or like, so I feel like mentally I'm very consumed by it. Yeah. I mean, and I feel like that takes away my wanting to go consume baseball outside of like my job. I mean, I went to the World Baseball Classic. We ended up losing.
Yeah,
it was unreal. My buddy had a voucher for tickets and he said he'd pay for me. So I was like, why not? This would be an unreal experience. But I went to the WBC and it was awesome. But yeah, other than that, I'm not going to go out of my way to, I mean, if I have a favorite pitcher that I like watching that I think has a similar style or attitude on the mound, then I'll take my time or I'll go through a YouTube compilation of their highlights or something like that. But just watching a regular baseball game, I feel like I'm a little too consumed in my daily life to be doing that.
You don't have like the mental bandwidth to just consume even more baseball than you're already like consuming on a day-to-day basis.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, you can put it in comparison. You go to a 9-to-5 job, right? You want to put that away right when you clock out.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
It's just sort of the same reality we live. We just find different ways to spend our time, I guess.
Yeah.
Doing that.
You talked about like favorite pitchers or pitchers that you kind of model your game after. Is there anyone in particular that you watched even from like high school or even now that you kind of model your pitching after?
Yeah, in high school, I really liked Joe Kelly. Nice. I didn't really throw like him, but I grew up in high school really thinking that I wanted to be a big league closer. And just the way he went about his attitude on the mound, I would consider myself a little similar, just like an aggressive-minded pitcher that thinks he's going to get everyone out. I think that's the way you have to pitch with 100% confidence. I would say now when I walk into the complex, I see Brandon Woodruff, I see Corbin Burnes, I see Devin Williams.
Yeah.
I think my favorite pitcher right now would probably be Brandon Woodruff.
Okay.
We have similar pitches, similar mechanical structure, I guess you can say.
Yeah.
But it's definitely nice to go into the complex and the people you look up to are working out right next to you. I'm a big fan of Devin Williams.
Yep.
I've listened to several times you've spoken about his changeup, and one of the things this offseason I wanted to work on was trying to get more depth to my changeup. And I just listened to him talk about the way he goes about the pitch, and it really helped me master, because we're never going to master anything, but really hone down what I was trying to do with manipulating the baseball in order to throw a changeup sort of similar to him. So the people that I would watch are those kinds of people. So
yeah, that's awesome. And I was reading something not too long ago, maybe a couple of days ago, and someone had wrote that you were one of like the Brewer prospects who was standing out in camp and stuff. And it talks about how you're a deceptive pitcher. You have some of the best pure stuff in the system. And you're throwing hard. Like, how hard are you throwing?
Interesting. If you can send me that, I did not know that. If you can
I'll find it.
How hard am I throwing? It's so weird to sit here and talk about velocity. I mean, my last down, I was 5-7. In the offseason, I was up to 98 multiple times. But yeah, you got to give me that article. I'm serious about that. I got to read that.
Yeah, this article is interesting because it mentioned about how you may be a reliever versus a starter. So I was going to ask you, like, where do you see yourself? You see yourself, you mentioned Brandon Woodruff, but you also mentioned, like, the Brewers' new closer and Devin Williams. Like, do you see yourself as a starter long-term or reliever?
Yeah, I think that's a great question, by the way. I've done both in my collegiate career. I started and closed at Illinois. And then last year for Minnesota, I started the whole season. Sort of got really comfortable in that role. I think starting's it's sort of an art, I guess. Mm-hmm. And so there's different ways that you approach the game rather than if I'm a reliever, I can go in and I know I'm facing three batters if I do my job. So my approach is a little different, whether that's velocity or how I'm going about the game. But honestly, my journey in baseball has been, it's been unbelievable. I've learned a lot of things, but there's been a lot of adversity. And just being a 14th rounder and playing for this organization, I love this organization. I literally do not care what they want me to do. Mm-hmm. If they just give me a baseball, my one dream for them is to make my debut with the Brewers in the major leagues. So whether that is in a setup role, coming out of the pen, or if they develop me as a starter, I'm game plan for all of that. And like I said, I have experience doing both. So I think, that's my answer. I like starting. I think it's fun to go out there for multiple innings and control the game for multiple innings. I think there's an art and just there's a rhythm to it, and I think it's very beautiful. But I also find the beauty in coming in and absolutely demolishing hitters. So there's a beauty in both. But like I said, whatever they want me to do, I'll do. So.
No, I feel that for sure. I've talked to guys who are like, yo, I just want to relieve one inning, let the arm eat, and just like, that's it. Like, just boom. Some guys like, I want to control, like, I want to have my like stamp on the game. And they have that, like, I know I'm pitching every five games kind of routine. So everyone's different. But I mean, like, when you talked about coming out of the bullpen, what do you do to get yourself hyped up? Because I've talked to guys who, you know, obviously, like, pre-workout, smelling sauce. I know. I talked to a guy who like drowns himself. He'll get water and he'll just like sniff it, and like that just like wakes him up. And then like he just runs out there. Like, so, like what do you do to like get yourself jacked up?
Yeah, I think all those things you're describing are people trying to create a fight or flight mode, right, for their body to prepare them mentally to go into an intense environment. I would say, I was just having a conversation with my buddy the other day. I would say every single time I know I'm throwing, the minute I wake up from sleep, I'm in fight or flight mode, whether that be a start or if I'm going to go into a relief. The adrenaline that I throw with and the adrenaline that I have to pitch with internally, I think is a little bit unique in the sense that I don't have to be doing all those kinds of things to like wake up my body, like, I don't know. This is where the psychotic part comes into play. But I mean, I'll have caffeine. I'll have a coffee or something like that. But knowing that I'm going in to a game, whatever scenario, like my body and mind is always prepared, I guess. So
yeah, that's awesome. You mentioned earlier, and I kind of want to touch this about like some different like adversities that you faced. What were you referring to like in the adversities and how did you overcome them?
Yeah, there's been a lot. I think especially my experience at Illinois, there is a lot, and we can get into that. But I think each time, whether that is through failure, like my freshman year, I started 8 games and none of them went well, to transferring to Minnesota my junior year. I think each time kind of question myself has just propelled me to develop mentally and physically, not only with who I am as a person, but just the confidence I have on the mound. And I think the journey that I've went through has prepared me for this moment. I think there's a little bit of an adversity. Obviously, I was drafted. Obviously, I was picked up. But my draft experience was adversity in the fullest. I didn't know if I was going to get drafted. I don't know. I didn't know what teams were interested. I just happened to get drafted by the Brewers in the 14th round. So, yes, throughout the journey, there's been a lot of things that I've had to go through baseball-wise. And like I said, it has prepared me for this journey I'm going through in professional baseball. And I don't think I'd be in the position I would be today if I didn't go through that kind of stuff. I had the opportunity to go to several big league teams out of high school, and I turned that opportunity down. And now, as I mature and I sit here, I realize why I turned those opportunities down. So if that answers your question, that was a little bit of a tangent.
No, for sure. And you talk about getting drafted. You got drafted twice, both by the Brewers, which is pretty cool. Like, what other teams in high school were interested in you? Because, like, let's be honest. Like, I'm looking at your high school stats, dude. You were, I think, the number 2 recruit in all of Minnesota, and out of high school. So, like, you were ranked pretty high as a prospect. Or,
yeah, I was just telling the story the other day. I think my parents never played sports in college. I was the first person going through college recruitment. I was the first person to play a sport at this high of a level. And I remember showing up for my senior year, my first baseball game. I'm walking in 2 hours before the game, and in Rosemount, you have to walk down a hill. And I'm walking down the hill, and I see 30 plus people behind the backstop already. And I was just thinking to myself, all right, well, this is serious. Like, this is serious. But yeah, there was a lot of teams interested. I had multiple opportunities. But yeah, high school was weird.
Did you kind of pay attention to that, like perfect game and all those kind of rankings and stuff? Because obviously, I'm sure you're aware of that. Minnesota isn't like a hotbed for baseball talent. But like, how was that like pressure? Like knowing that, like, hey, these guys are watching me. Like the number 2 recruit in the state. Like I'm kind of nastier than all the other kids here in my area. I'm just shoving. Teams are going to draft me. Like, what was that whole like mental part of that?
I think I was just a little bit naive. I didn't really realize how big of a stage I was on. I think just because of my background and stuff, I never had people telling me this is a serious thing, blah, blah, blah. Like I paid somewhat of attention to rankings. I learned early on that that means absolutely nothing.
Yeah.
I was still by my parents. And I think eliminating external factors within your mind is a big component to staying level-headed, in addition to just having the utmost confidence in yourself, not allowing things like perfect game or PBR. I know Parker works for PBR, and PBR did a lot of good things for my career. I just think in the moment I didn't understand the magnitude of what was happening around me, and I think that just sort of allowed me to thrive. And then once I got to Illinois, like you said, I was the number 2 recruit in Minnesota. I was the highest recruit ever to go to Illinois at that point, out of high school. And I just think everything sort of changed for me because, you know, So I think my inability to understand the moment that I was in allowed me to perform in high school in front of everyone. So
that kind of helped you not get too cocky or too like, you know, big headed, and then next thing you know, you're failing because you just kind of like blocked all that out, and that was able to help you thrive, and which is kind of crazy how it all worked out, though.
Yeah, absolutely. And then I go from having that kind of mindset to turning down a lot of money out of high school, and then thinking I'm the guy.
Yeah.
And that's when everything went downhill. So, yeah.
So that, I mean, that kind of shows you, like, if you were had that mindset in high school, maybe you wouldn't even be where you are now, just based off like the first year results of your college experience.
Yeah, absolutely. I think just failure helps make you more mature, whether that be in just your regular life or through adversity, through your sport. But yeah, I don't think I could have handled all that kind of stuff coming out of high school. Who knows? I could be working at Target right now.
Yeah.
if I went out of high school. So it's just sort of crazy to think about that. And the fact that I was drafted by the Brewers out of high school and had an opportunity to go multiple times. Mm-hmm. I mean, I was even taking classes at Illinois, getting texts from my advisor, like, do you want to take X amount of money? And it's like, nope, I've made my decision. I'm staying in Illinois. So
yeah.
There's a lot of cool things that I didn't realize was as cool now sitting where I am today. But yeah, it's been a crazy journey.
How hard was that though, as like as an 17, 18 year old to like turn down the money, turn down going pro? Like what went into that decision? Obviously you said you weren't maybe like mentally ready to be on that stage, but like that had to be a tough decision.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, there's definitely several ways you can put it. I don't know if it really was that tough of a decision because when I had conversations with my advisor and my family, it was more about money. It wasn't about, am I prepared? Like, how's my stuff? Am I going to be able to compete at this level? Like, that never crossed my head. And like I said, I didn't have parents who played a sport and all this. My dad wasn't a college baseball player, so I had to go through all this myself. So I didn't have a third person perspective like, hey, you should probably go to college and develop. Your stuff needs help. Like, you need to work on this and that. It was more like, can we meet this number? If not, okay, I'll go get an education.
Yeah.
So that was literally as simple as it was. It was hard because, right, you get offered all this money and there's all these teams that want you. And then you say no. It's like, oh shit, I'm going to school next week. Like, I'm going to Illinois to take classes, and that's my reality. So,
When did you commit to Illinois? Because I mean, I'm sure being like a high recruit in your state, like there's colleges and universities everywhere recruiting you.
Yeah, I think the recruitment process was really insane. I think I committed to Illinois when I was barely 16. It was pretty early.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
That was right at
the point where people had just started committing early.
Yeah.
So I was just at the forefront of what college baseball recruiting is now. So.
You were paving the way for all the 15 and 16 year olds. Now there's guys getting, they're committing out of high, like freshman year, 14 years old, 15 years old committing, which is insane. Just to be in that situation. What colleges or universities or JUCOs did you visit, and like what narrowed it down to Illinois?
Yeah, my top three was West Virginia, Duke, and Illinois. And basically I wanted to pick the school by the coaches, right?
Okay.
And so smart. I felt the strongest connection with my pitching coach, Illinois. And so that's how I made my decision. He ended up leaving after my freshman year. But, that's basically the only reason I chose Illinois was because I looked at players that had went through there, Cody Sedlock, Tyler Jay, et cetera. There was a bunch of first-round talents that he developed throughout college, and I looked at myself and said, if I can go work with this guy for 2-3 years, I can become a first-round draft pick.
Yeah.
And so that's sort of how I went about my recruitment as a college player.
Yeah, and obviously you talked about how your first year didn't work out that well. But, you said, you get drafted, and you get drafted twice by the same team, which is pretty cool in and of itself. Yeah. What was your favorite college memory, or maybe your favorite game you pitched where maybe the fans were just a little extra chirpy and you're like, all right, I'm just going to shove?
Absolutely. I think I have two that are coming to mind. The first one would be I went 7 innings against Nebraska, and I won Big Ten Pitcher of the Week. And you find out you win Big Ten awards, I think, Monday or Tuesday. And I was thrown on Sunday, and I had just got into the weight room. I was going to do my lift, my first lift of the week. And our sports media guy comes down to the weight room, and he told me, he's like, you won Big Ten player or Big Ten pitcher of the week. And I think everything just sort of hit me at once because I never had really performed in college. And I took a shot. I had several Division II offers when I transferred in Illinois. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to bet on myself and prove that I could perform at that level. And I think this was my third or fourth Big Ten start, counting Big Ten play. So obviously mm-hmm. it starts before that. But I think that was the moment where I was like, wow, I'm really doing what I set out to do. And there's been a lot of things in the way of that.
Yeah.
And I think that's why that's my favorite start. Now, my favorite start of the year was probably Iowa because I just don't like Iowa.
Was that you guys' biggest rivalry? A rivalry, Iowa?
Not. I can't really say it was a rivalry because we got swept and we didn't have a good year. But
never mind.
Just the whole time the team, their dugout was in the game when I was pitching, and I sort of was manipulating the game through emotions, and it was just very. There's many moments where I couldn't believe that I was actually performing mm-hmm. at this time. Let's say I have first and second, no outs, and the whole dugout's yelling at me on the other side. And I get a punchy and a pop out and then another punchy. And then I yell and they're quiet. Like
yeah.
the emotion of the game. And then I sit back that night and I go, I can't believe that I just went through that experience. Like, I can't believe like I'm experiencing these emotions. And I'm doing it on this big of a stage. So, yeah, I think I went 6 1/3 against Iowa on Easter. Yeah, I think I had close to 10 punch outs.
Wow.
Very fun game. Yeah, yeah. So Nebraska and Iowa, yeah, it was a fun year. We didn't win a lot, but I got pushed a lot by my coaches, mm-hmm. and it enabled me to be talking to you and talking yeah. about the Brewers. So,
oh, for sure. So you talked about like being kind of the same attitude, kind of like the Joe Kelly route. Were you that way in college as well when you're pitching?
Ooh, it's a really good question. I'd say I try to be. yeah, I mean, when I was at Illinois, I just didn't really have a lot of confidence in my ability for whatever reason. There really wasn't a reason for me not to have confidence in myself. Mm-hmm. But I feel like when you throw with that kind of an attitude and that kind of presence on the mound, you have to be 100% committed to yourself, mm-hmm. With confidence. And I'd say that's how I pitched last year. And that's how I'm pitching right now. And for whatever reason, I lost that for a couple of years. Yeah, I just think transferring just sort of something clicked inside of me. And ever since then, I've just sort of been running with it. So.
Yeah, I talked to a guy who you talked about playing. Did you pitch against Duke? Or no, you want to go to Duke. That's one of the schools you're looking at?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I was talking to a guy in the Rays organization. He said that he was chirping so much that the Duke head coach tried to get him tossed out of the game or something crazy. And he's just very, I called him like the Draymond Green of like college baseball because he was very just chirpy and stuff. So I wasn't sure if that was kind of the way you were or how your whole style was.
Yeah, no. I'm not really the guy that's going to, like, chirp or do all that. But if it's a big moment and I mm-hmm. feel the moment, I watch video myself pitch and I don't really realize I'm doing certain things. So it's sort of like that. When I step on the mound, it's mm-hmm. just sort of a different person.
Yeah.
And I, like, yeah, if there's a guy on second, two outs, and I get a big punchy, like, I'm going to probably do something dumb.
Yeah.
But it is what it is.
we're going to have to brainstorm a nice celebration for once you get to high A and double A and moving on up every time maybe something like a Trevor Bauer sword, something that you can make it yours, unique, that Brewer fans can kind of get behind.
Okay. All right. Yeah, I like that idea.
Oh, for sure. For sure. So you talked about your second draft day was not as was different than your first day or maybe even similar to your first draft day because you weren't expecting to get drafted again.
Yeah.
But like, was there any, like, in the back of your head, like, you know, this might happen, or were you just not even watching it? Like, what was that whole experience again the second time?
Yeah, it was crazy and very fruitful. Mm-hmm. I had gotten done with Minnesota. I had a phenomenal year. And being a senior, you're old, right? Mm-hmm, so mm-hmm. people are more interested in the younger prospects, the juniors or the high schoolers. And so there's just a bunch of question marks. I didn't have a lot of people come watch me pitch during the year. I mean, you can watch online, mm-hmm. but you really don't know about that. And I think it was a month before the draft and I'm talking to my agent and we were just he said, I don't know if this is like a true reality for you. You might have to take $25,000 as a free agent. Like, that might be a possibility for you. And if that was going to happen, I was going to go back to Minnesota.
For your COVID year?
I would have went back to my COVID year. I love my experience. The coaching staff, there's awesome. Shout out to John Anderson. But basically, a week before the draft, I'm having another conference with my agent. And he said, all right, well, we're on 25 draft boards. And I was like, okay, hold up. Like, where did we get lost in this situation? And he was just telling me, this is what happens. Like, it's just crazy. He's like, there's probably a good possibility you'll get drafted. We just have no clue where. Mm-hmm. But just know that there is a possibility that you're not going to get drafted. So I said, okay. I felt good about it going into it. I remember the morning of the draft, I had like probably – I went to go throw at starters, and I probably had to leave three or four times to pick up phone calls and talk about numbers with teams. Mm-hmm. And I think in that moment I was like, okay, this is definitely going to happen. I had multiple teams tell me they're comfortable with my number, blah, blah, blah. Just depends where you fall on the board. And when the draft's happening, I knew it wasn't going to be a top five rounder or whatever, but it's sort of just who likes who after probably eight rounds, I'd say. And so my agent calls me. And he's like, I got the Brewers on the line. Looks good. And that was in the 11th or 12th round. Mm-hmm. And I didn't hear anything back from him. So it's the 12th round going through, nothing. 13th round, and I hear nothing. So I don't think I'm getting drafted at all.
Yeah.
And the 14th round, I just see my name pop up on the TV. And that was it.
That's awesome.
And my agent calls me. He goes, this is awesome. Like, this organization loves you. They love the way you pitch. They drafted you out of high school. They think there's things they can work with, blah, 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 blah. And that was it. I don't know. It was a pretty special moment. There's a lot of celebrating after that. And then the Brewers called me, talked to me a little bit, but that was it. So,
yeah. What an emotional roller coaster you go from. You're not getting drafted to, hey, you might get drafted, to the 12th round, now it's the 14th round. I would have just been going crazy. I mean, what were your parents like? What was their emotion like?
Yeah. Well, the thing is, I sort of handle everything on my own. So I communicate, obviously, like, hey, this is a for sure thing, mm-hmm. or what's going on behind the scenes. But I was basically managing, like, talks with my agent, teams I'm talking to. I just do that all on my own. So for me, it was super stressful. I don't know if it was for my parents, because I'm not going to go through everything I'm talking about. Yeah. You know, I mean, there's a bunch of negatives, like, hey, you're old. Like, mm-hmm. I didn't throw that hard back then, you know? So it was just like, who's going to like me the most? But it was awesome for them. I mean, with everything I've been through, especially like, there was a moment I almost was done playing baseball after Illinois. My parents were just very, 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 very happy. And it was great to see them in that emotional state. My parents crying, my girlfriend was there. My family was crying and stuff, but yeah, no, it was a very surreal moment.
Did you get it videotaped?
Yeah, I have some video of it. Yeah. But I was pretty even keeled during the whole thing. I was getting calls and stuff. I definitely took a moment after that day to really think about what had just occurred. So
that's cool. And you mentioned you almost like quit baseball. Like, you kind of didn't mention that, but like, what was it? Was it just because of the poor performance, or you just lost the love for the game? Like, what brought you back to baseball?
Yeah, I think it was accumulation of multiple things. My junior year, I threw with tendonitis in my elbow. So basically every single time it's a long story, but basically the pitching coach that came to Illinois was talking about how I need to shorten my arm action because I have a very long arm action that allows me to throw really hard. Mm-hmm. And I had not injuries, but I'd be banged up here or there. Like, I'd pull my scap or my forearm would be a little tight, so I wouldn't be able to pitch all the time. I mean, I believed what he was telling me. He was telling me I need to shorten my arm action. I need to do this and that to do it. And in the end, it put me in really unhealthy positions in my delivery. And so it ended up putting a lot of stress on my elbow, and I ended up getting tendonitis my junior year. So my first outing in front of all these scouts, I was 85, 87. I was just one of those players that it's like, if I can throw, I'm going to throw, you know, like I'll throw through the pain and do all this. Like I'm not hurt. So literally my first outing in my junior year, I was 85, 87. And basically I got shelved after that. They just decided not to throw me anymore. I mean, I had a couple bad outings. And I think I ended up throwing 12 innings. Most of them were late in games when we were up or down by a lot. And at the end of the season, they just, so whole another story, but they decided to tell me that I should probably transfer, and I went into the transfer portal, and there's a lot of decisions, right? Because at the end of the year, my last outing, I was 90-92 at Indiana, and I threw against three batters. What's up, guys? But I threw against three batters, and I was 90-92. So it's like, do I really want to go through all this, transferring schools, committing myself to getting healthy, committing myself to fix my arm action, committing myself to figuring out how to pitch again? Like, there is all these question marks. And I mean, I still sometimes like question what I'm doing, right? Like, there's no security in this. Right now, I don't have a college degree because I left Minnesota. And it's just like, maybe sometimes we want to be normal people, you know, I want to be able to go out on the weekend, you know, hang out with my girlfriend, do all these kinds of things. So that was really a big reality for me, because it's like, do I really want to go through all this? And like, I can just finish my degree. I can get a normal job and do these things that I've wanted to do my whole life. But for whatever reason, I made the decision to go visit schools. I made the decision to work my ass off after I transferred. Yeah, there was a lot that summer from a developmental standpoint. I think a month after I transferred, I posted a video of me throwing 95, and it just started to work out for me. I don't know. Like, like I said earlier, when I was asked to transfer, something just clicked in me, and I don't know if it's my edge that I throw with. I don't know if it's, I just feel driven inside, and I've just been running with it. And
that's awesome.
Yeah. One of the biggest decisions so far in my career was I almost went to a D2 in Florida. I was between St. Leo.
Okay.
I was between St. Leo and another D2 in Texas, both absolute powerhouses.
Yep.
And the opportunity to go there. And I remember, this is like the last day, because schools put timelines on these things. Like, hey, we have this big scholarship for you, but you only got a couple days to decide. Like, how is that fair to anyone? You know, like, but I remember it like it's yesterday. I was like talking to my parents, and I was telling them, hey, I think this Florida thing's a good opportunity. And my dad was like, absolutely not. You're going to go prove to everyone that you can perform at the Division I level, and that you can perform in a Power Five conference. And I didn't say anything. I just looked at him, and I thought about it. I was like, all right. So then I called Ty McDevitt up, and I committed to Minnesota.
Yeah. That's so cool. And, and you talk about being in the Big Ten. Like, or how was like college game days?
Yeah, no, college is great. It's definitely a little bit more intense than professional baseball is. Because you work out with them every single day. You go to classes with them, so you're tight with everyone. And, we didn't have a great season, but I feel like everyone there just really welcomed me in. I feel like when you're transferring in, especially as a senior, your limitations on friendships and being introduced to the culture and all that kind of stuff is a little bit limited, but my experience in Minnesota was one of the most enjoyable things I will cherish for the rest of my life. I don't know if there was anyone that treated me poorly once, and, they promoted an environment that allowed me to thrive, and
How were the college tailgates for the football team and stuff? Did the coach make you guys have like practices that evening or that morning to like make sure you guys didn't go too crazy?
Yeah, there's a lot of practices when there's things going on. That's how it gets done.
How convenient.
Yeah, Yeah, honestly, I went to a couple football games, which were pretty fun. I mean, Minnesota promotes a really good environment. Mm-hmm. And at Illinois, we didn't have a great football team when I was there. So going to Minnesota was a little bit crazier. But other than that, I mean, I dedicate a lot to baseball. So it wasn't like I was going out of the way to go tailgating on a Saturday morning. So.
Yeah, no worries, no worries. So let's kind of talk about the minors for wrap it up with that. You get drafted. I'm pretty sure it's like within days you're sent to like Arizona to go through the whole process of rookie ball. How was your did you pitch that out on low A or were you strictly rookie ball?
Yeah, so right when I got drafted, I actually got shut down because my workload was 5-6 times higher than it was last year because I had thrown 12 innings at Illinois.
That's true.
And then for Minnesota, I threw 75. So there's a lot of data that they had throughout their system that projects if we keep having this guy throw, like it's probably not healthy.
Yeah.
And so I got shut down for about a month and a half. I mean, I played catch, I threw bullpens, I worked on pitches, all that kind of stuff, but not from game reps or whatever. And actually, and so what happens is you get drafted and you go to the complex and then you get sent out to an affiliate team or you stay for instructional league. And so I stay for instructional league. And they made me a closer, and so I threw 9 innings out of the pen, and they basically wanted me to figure out a routine that works for me going into next year. So I threw 9 innings. It went really well, but now they made me a starter.
Oh,
so,
nice.
I mean, it's not like lost or whatever, you know, but just threw a little bit for instructional league. That was about it, so.
That's so cool. Well, hopefully this season, I mean, like you're talking about being a senior signed agent, all that stuff. Hopefully this season we see you low A, high A at least. That's like 45, high is about an hour and a half from where I live. I already told Nate, like if he's in high A or you're in high A, like I'm there, like I'll be there watching for sure.
We'll have to do a podcast in person.
Yeah, that'd be so sick. And like, and I got media access to there. So like they'll let me in there and like give me a spot to record and stuff. So. We definitely have to get that all set up for sure. That'd be sick.
Yeah, no, Appleton will definitely be a great experience. So. Yeah,
for sure. So let's end on this. What do you do when you're not pitching? You talk about being a psychotic or maniac on the mound, but when you're when you're not pitching, like, what do you do for fun? You're a golfer, because you're in Arizona. They're all golfing right now, I'm sure.
Yep. I like to keep it simple. I come back. I don't know. I consume a lot of media, whether that be I'm a big Twitter guy. I watch a lot of YouTube videos. But I just like to lay low usually when I'm done playing baseball, so I'll play a lot of – I'm a big gamer. I love to golf and all that, but my daily routine, I always have to have a little Xbox time with the boys. So.
What do you play?
It honestly ranges from a big variety. It just depends on the week. Like sometimes I'm bored with Call of Duty. Sometimes I'm bored with Fortnite. It's a revolving door, I guess.
Yeah, we'll have to squad us one time. I suck at COD, but like I'm not too bad at Fortnite.
No, Fortnite's definitely the hot thing right now. I think COD is diminishing a little bit.
Yeah, but, I feel like Fortnite evolves so well, like so much faster, and like they're always up doing all these cool things. I feel like COD it kind of stayed the same, and then the new upgrade, I didn't like it as much, so I stopped playing. I don't know. I've been grinding Fortnite like crazy, though. I don't lie.
Yeah, no, I've exclusively been playing Fortnite so far. We do like Zone Wars and Tilted. It's like this third party game mode that you can play. Yeah. So we'll have like 10 people in there, and it gets pretty hectic. So that's fun. Yeah.
Hey, okay, I might have to try to jump in on one of those.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
Yeah, I might have to get your gamer tag or something so we can, man, okay. That'd be kind of sick. I've never played the third person like mode where you can kind of like, but those that seems interesting. I'm going to have to definitely check that out.
Yeah, it's just, there's like a library of games, and if you just type in like Tilted Zone Wars, it will come up, so.
Dang, that's cool. Well, hey, I want to thank you for coming on the pod, man. I appreciate you talking. I can talk
absolutely
about baseball all the time. So let's talk about real quick. Parker had mentioned, he sent me an email, said, hey, I saw your podcast with Nate. Like, you know, I work with Brewer Fanatics a little bit. He's like, I got a guy I want you to come on. So, like, what was your reaction when he told you? I don't know if you've done a lot of podcasts before or if this is, like, your first one, because I Googled. I couldn't find any.
I think, I did, like, a Gophers pod. But I'm really into this kind of environment.
Yeah.
And I love talking about my experience. Yeah. And if it helps other people, I think it's great. So I definitely like doing this kind of thing.
Cool.
I don't know. Maybe I'm a little too lazy to utilize it for myself. Maybe I got to start my own podcast. But
dude, that'd be sick. That'd be sick. Talk about, like, I know the Cubs guys, like, 3 or 4 years ago, they did, like, the compound. A couple of Cub minor leaguers. Now they're all pro major leaguers, I think. But, yeah, that'd be kind of cool. You and maybe a couple other guys start a podcast and stuff.
Yeah, I got to start figuring out ways to market myself. So,
dude, that's so maybe. Huge. That is so huge. Yeah. Like, so many guys now, like, just talking about, like, building their own brand and stuff. And that's something that I feel like every athlete should be doing, because once this game is over, you never know when it's going to end. You need to have something to, like, fall back on, at least, like, a brand that you can be like, hey, this is me, even though I'm not an athlete kind of thing, you know?
Yeah. No, it's definitely a good point. Yeah.
Think about it.
I got to work on it.
Game plan. All right, well, hey, I'll let you go. You have a great rest of your, I guess, night. It's only 4 o'clock there, but great rest of your evening. Enjoy your spring training, and we'll keep in touch, man. We'll keep in touch.
Absolutely. Thanks for taking the time, Francisco. I appreciate it.
Welcome to another round of Drawing Board or Miro Board. Today, we discuss technical diagramming with systems architect Maya. Let's go. First question. You've spent 10 hours slogging over a sequence diagram that should have taken 5. Drawing Board or Miro Board?
Drawing Board. And if I'm being honest, Miro would probably cut that time down by half. You know, with its AI tools and ready-to-go templates.
Next, your diagrams become so bulky, it's more complex than the solar system. But all it takes is a few clicks and...
It's Miro. I've used those technical shape packs way too many times, and stuff is just digestible on its infinite online canvas.
Now, the final question. Everyone's brought in, but you have to make all these tasks all the way over in Jira. But wait, it's done. Is it...
Miro. Easy with its two-way Jira sync. Easy to plot dependencies. Everyone always knows what's up.
And she's done it.
Join over 60 million people creating technical diagrams without workflow glitches. Get your first 3 boards for free at Miro.com. That's Miro.com.